Harris.
And welcome back to the Faceless Men podcast covering HBO's Game of Thrones television series. I'm your host, Michael.
I'm your host, Jesse.
We're covering Season 5, Episode 4, Sons of the Harpy. What was your initial thoughts about this episode, Jesse?
I felt like there's a lot more action than we've seen. I didn't feel it advanced much of the plot in any way, shape, or form, though.
How many Joffrey death scenes do you give it?
A third.
Yeah, I'm kind of quarter. Yeah, I'm right there with you. I think my initial impression is it's the best offering so far this season. We got some action going on, at least two scenes of action. But yeah, I'm also with you where it's just like, it's only a small incremental advancement of the plot. Nothing big. No big pieces moving across the map.
Yeah, and we saw, I think they set the bar too high last season. With the way that the season ended last time, they set the bar pretty high. So they got some work to do.
Well, they do that. It seems like it's a recurring thing. So if you look at if you were to map plot points along with action or tension or interest, that it's like an exponential curve. Starts out low and it goes really low until the very end where it spikes with episode 9, and then it dips back down with episode 10 every time.
Yep.
Except for, I feel like, at least in the beginning, the first season was spectacular because it seemed like something was happening every episode.
Yeah. This, they've got a lot of people in holding patterns. They got a lot of people, doing the cloak and dagger kind of things. There's not much moving other than, stuff going on behind the scenes. It's just not super
engaging.
Yeah.
Doesn't engage very well. All right, let's get in the fast cap. So I'm going to, once again, like last episode, we've changed our format. I'm going to go in the fast cap, which basically I gloss over all the major plot points that happened this episode, scene by scene. And then we'll get into our talking points. And we don't really have much this episode, even though that we liked the episode better. But, that's what happens when you have action. There's not much else to talk about. So without further ado, we start with the opening credits. We finally get Dorne in the opening credits. Has a nice serpent curled around a spear.
I like the way that city built. I like that.
Yeah, it's very obvious. I think it's very Arabic or Persian in theme.
And it seems like, I don't understand why it wasn't in the last episode. We've seen more of Dorne so far. Why?
Yeah, whoever isn't in charge of the opening credits is failing this season.
I'm glad to see it now, but where was
I guess
it?
Maybe it's because actual shit happened now. Oh. I don't. Maybe people have to die before they show it.
people have to die.
That's right. People have to die at the place, at the location, before they show the location on the map.
Yeah, I could see that. Winterfell, the opening scene in Winterfell, is them cutting somebody's head off.
Yeah, maybe that's true. So we start off across the Narrow Sea. Jorah has put Tyrion on a boat. So there's some minor dwarf tossing here. Not much else.
It's some Grand Theft Boat.
Then we go off to Dorne, or at least on the way to Dorne, and Jaime and Bronn are traveling by a merchant ship. We go to King's Landing. The small council is convened. The Iron Bank wants part of its loan repaid. They can't repay it, so they send Mace to negotiate. The Faith Militant is reconstituted, which is basically holy warriors, holy zealots, armed zealots.
Answer to no one but God.
Answer to no one but the gods. And then they immediately start attacking all the vices. So prostitutes, booze, deviants, sexual deviants, homosexuals, gaming, gambling, any of the big vices, right? Loras is arrested, which then pits Marge against Cersei via Tommen. But Tommen is kind of actually impotent to do anything.
Wishy-washy on that whole thing.
He comes to an obstacle, and he can't cross it.
I don't think he's quite knows what's going on, but we'll talk about that.
We see Jon, so we're at the wall. Jon is working towards rebuilding the Night's Watch. Melisandre tries to seduce him, and we get some great emotional depth from Stannis via a conversation with Shireen. We'll probably come back to that in the in-depth part.
We get some more of Sansa and her, and I don't know how they magically moved from Moat Cailin to Winterfell, but they are now in Winterfell.
Yeah, so she's actually in the catacombs, right? Lighting candles for her deceased family, ancestors. Then Peter Baelish comes along and is like, oh, I figured this is where you're at. And basically lays down the 411 on what's going to happen in the north. Stannis is going to come to Winterfell.
Yep.
And we go to Dorne, and we see Jaime and Bronn has been betrayed by the merchant that dropped them off, and they have to face off against some Dornish guards. And we also get semi-acquainted with Oberyn's bastard brood of girls. Back on a boat across the Narrow Sea, we catch back up with Jorah and Tyrion, and we find out which queen they're going to. And it's not the queen you picked.
Yeah.
It's not Cersei. It's the Dragon Queen.
I can't say I'm not relieved by that, but They did leave some doubt, didn't they?
Yeah, well, as soon as I saw what boat they're taking, that boat can't make it across the narrow sea.
Yeah, but you saw them heading for a boat, though, and they were like, oh, well, could they? It was a possibility.
Well, they live on Slaver's Bay. Yeah. The boat would be a fastest mode of travel. And speaking of the Dragon Queen, our final scene is a marine, and we find that the Sons of the Harpy strikes again, leaving a bunch of people dead, both Sons of the Harpy and Unsullied, and I guess former slaves or second sons or whoever was in the initial scene there, and possibly Barristan Selmy.
And Grey Worm.
All right, so talking points. Is there anything you really want to talk about this episode?
I do want to cover...
Let's go back to the scenes. So let's talk about Jorah and Tyrion.
Oh, yeah.
So you were wrong. I was right.
You like saying that, don't you?
It was Daenerys Targaryen, that queen, which Jorah serves. And then there's some great dialogue there, because Tyrion basically finds out where he's taking him to, right? You're going the wrong way.
And he uses his clues around his environment to piece together who's actually holding him.
Yeah, he has his number, right? Man, he figures out who you are.
The head.
You're there. Jorah Mormont. You've lost your way, you used to be a spy, you're in exile, and you think that bringing me back will put you in our good graces.
Yep.
But he's like, it's a 50-50 chance that it puts you back in your good graces, or it puts me in our good graces.
He's like, I was headed there anyway, let's go.
Yeah, what a waste of a good kidnapping, you know? Yeah. He's like, now that we've discovered that we're both going to the same place, we're on the same side, right, you can cut me free, but that doesn't happen. What does he do instead? He
gets a nice slap across the face, like a backhanded punch.
Instead of wine to help him sleep... He gets a concussion to help him sleep. So, how do you think that's going to play out when they get there?
I'm not sure yet. I'm interested to see how that's going to go. I have no... I think...
Do you think she will turn Jorah away again?
No.
I agree. I don't think so.
Whether that means that she's going to have him executed, I don't know.
Do you think...
She seems kind of... She's been kind of going back and forth on... She seems kind of...
Wishy-washy?
Yeah.
She's a wishy-washy. She doesn't know if she wants to be uber hard or soft and kind.
Yeah, she's kind of...
She hasn't found the
she's kind of torn there.
The key, you know, the best compromise. What do you think? Do you think that she's aware that Varys is traveling there to see her?
No, I don't think she is.
Do you think that when he explains what he's been... Because you know that he was helping the king spy on her, right?
Yep.
So he was Jorah's contact.
Yep.
You know, there's intermediaries, but he was working with Jorah.
I don't think she would hold that against Varys as much as she would hold against Jorah, or Jorah, mainly because that was Varys' job.
Possibly.
Because it's like he was the master of secrets, is that what they call it?
Master of spies, spy master.
Yeah, because I mean they had a name, they gave it to the other...
Master of spies, I think.
Yep.
So what do you think her reaction to Tyrion's going to be?
I don't know. See, that's the thing. She hasn't spoken much. Yeah, I know
she hasn't talked about much about the people across the Narrow City.
No, she really hasn't given her feelings on the Lannisters, or other than the fact that, you know, she's aware that the Baratheons tried to kill her. She hasn't really said much about, other than conquering Westeros, I don't think she's given
much of an opinion. Yeah, we don't know her opinions on other houses, or I guess any of the Seven Kingdoms in particular, of Westeros.
I know what I'd like to see.
Well, I think that Tyrion's going to become real comfortable with the dungeon again, to begin with.
I don't think so.
Yeah, they're going to put him in some kind of holding cell for a while until she vets him. Or something. Until, I don't know what's going to happen, but I don't think they're just going to be best buds straight out of the...
I don't think so either. But
straight off the boat.
I think she's going to use him, especially with the possible loss of Barristan and Grey Worm. She's now down some advisors.
Okay, so let's jump to Meereen then. Now that you brought up Barristan and Grey Worm, do you really think they're dead?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
I think the fact that Grey Worm...
I think that was just gratuitous violence and basically just a cliffhanger to put us on. I don't think it has any real...
No, especially not with Grey Worm having saved Barristan there at the end. I mean, if you'd seen, like, Barristan actually...
Get his throat slit or something? Yeah,
yeah, for sure.
But they're mortally wounded, and if not attended to soon, they will die. But I think they will recover.
But if they don't, there is down... That's a lot of the queen's strength gone. Like, she's down some advisors. She relies heavily on their council.
So you think maybe they might be killing them off so that Jorah will have an opening to come back?
I don't know if they're going to necessarily make a way for Jorah, but they're definitely...
Well, without these two, who does she have left?
She seems to rely a lot on their wisdom, other than, like, to not completely... Without completely alienating all the people she has...
Right, without Barristan, Selmy, and Grey Worm, then she's basically down to the... mercenary leader of the Second Sons.
Yeah, especially now that she's, like, kind of sort of alienated herself from the slave population, when she executed the one guy.
She's in trouble.
Yeah, she's not in the very best balance of power she's got. She's not holding on that great. And I don't think she even knows that.
So let's talk about Dorne a little bit, and Jaime and Bronn, and what's going on there with the Oberyn bastards. All right, so first of all, Bronn and Jaime were betrayed, even though he gave him a heavy bag of gold, right?
Yep, and I kind of feel like, so what was one of Bronn's points earlier in the episode when they were on the bigger boat traveling, why aren't there Lannister people here? Where's the Lannister
flags, pennants, and stuff like that? So because they're trying to be secretive to get into Dorne, which is understandable.
But can't be secretive when you're just gleefully handing out gold like a Lannister.
Right. And Bronn kind of digs at Jaime a little bit, right? Pretty much every opportunity is like, your niece?
Oh, yeah. Clearly.
Why are you here?
No one's convinced about that.
And then, aren't you the one who let Tyrion free? No, yeah. Varys let Tyrion free. And then, what about the, I want to die in the embrace of my lover or something like that? And he's like, is that what she wants?
Yeah, and the whole thing, oh, so one of the most recognizable people
in Westeros. That's right.
Coming here. You know, the one-handed Lannister.
Well, the merchant ship captain, it didn't turn out very good for him, huh?
No.
I think he was hoping to play both sides.
Captured him, didn't they?
He came to her to tell her that he helped smuggle him in, and then basically, like, you smuggled him in? And then buried him up to his neck in sand and let the scorpions bite at him and then threw a spear through his face.
Yeah, that guy, he didn't make out so well.
He probably should have just kept his mouth shut. So let's talk about the Oberyn brood. What do you think about the daughters? They're not all her daughters.
No.
Right? Because otherwise I feel like she would have
been
like...
They're all Oberyns, though.
Yeah. Because she talked about her mother in the third person, and if that was her mom standing there...
Yeah, I don't think she would have done that.
But they're all like half-sisters, is the half-sister bastards, is the picture I'm getting. But they're not to be fucking trifled with, right?
No.
They're fighters.
I'm glad to see it.
Now, yes.
Let's see what's going on.
I definitely want to see these three lay waste to some Lannisters.
Now, I don't really want to see them kill Marcel, and that seems to be their goal.
I don't think that's going to happen.
No, I don't think so either.
I think Jaime is going to get out with Marcel.
I don't mind seeing them kill Jaime. I'm going to admit that.
I bet they kill Bronn.
Yeah, that's going to be super disappointing. I hope they don't.
I'm calling it. The Oberyn brood.
You don't think Bronn's walking
away
from Dorne?
Kill Bronn. Yeah. Nope, I don't think so. He's not going to get his better castle. He's not going to die.
I agree. But
eating in his big castle, watching his sons fight over his fortune. That's not going to happen.
I completely agree. I just wish I didn't. I hope that Bronn... That's not what I want to happen.
I think it's going to be a glorious battle.
I think it'll be glorious. I hope that Bronn's the only one to walk away.
But I think the brood, Oberyn brood plus sand snakes equals Bronn's dead. And it'll be a glorious combat scene. But in the end, he's going to die and Jaime's going to get out with Marcel.
Now, here's a question for you. Dorne goes to war with King's Landing no matter what.
Yeah, what's King's Landing going to do about that?
Yeah, I don't know what's going to happen, but I think no matter what, Dorne is going to end up in a war with everyone else. I think that...
Well, I don't know. If they don't kill Jaime Lannister or Marcel, the daughter, then why would...
Because
they'll have to kill the king.
Yeah, I don't think the king's walking away from this.
Okay, so you think the king's also going to die?
Yeah, not Tommen, I'm talking about.
Yeah, Dorne.
Yeah, I don't think he's walking away no matter
what. Or the prince of Dorne.
No matter what happens, I don't think he's walking away, and I think Dorne's going to die.
But they haven't introduced a successor.
Nope.
Who would take his place?
I'm thinking the Lady Oberyn.
She seems to me like not of royal bloodline, right? She's also a bastard. I don't know, maybe things work differently in Dorne.
Yeah.
She's a sand, right?
Yep.
So I don't think she can hold the title. So we need to see, before he dies, we need to see his successor. We haven't seen that yet. So what about Jaime's feelings for Tyrion? Because he said that, you know, Bronn's like, if you see the little shit, give him my regards.
I can't believe he didn't know kind of what might happen. I mean,
yeah, he seems upset that his dad is dead.
He kind of bears some of that blame.
I can't fathom any of the Lannister children actually giving a damn that their father is dead, because he did nothing but be a tyrant over them. Maybe Stockholm syndrome.
Yeah, I think that may be what it is. But Tyrion obviously didn't have it.
So do you think that Jaime Lannister will ever have a chance to kill Tyrion?
No.
I think that he will come close. I think that's his destiny.
You think to try and kill Tyrion?
Yeah, and he will die trying, possibly.
I would love to see that. Because if you think about it, that's like the ultimate end for his character, right? Because he's been on this good slope, right? Where he's doing things that people can cheer for. And everyone's, or Tyrion's most people's favorites, and he hasn't really done as much shitty stuff as Jaime, right?
Right.
It's not as much of a villain. To have Jaime go out like that would be one of those turn for darkness sort of things.
All right. So what do you think about what's going on in King's Landing? So Cersei is...
Starting with that small council meeting?
Cersei...
Tyrell is not coming back. And so I don't even think he's going to make it to the Iron Bank.
Well, they sent him away. She at least sent him away. Mace Tyrell was at least sent away to the Iron Bank to not be there when his son was arrested for homosexual acts.
I think that was definitely something, too.
But she did send...
Meryn.
Sir Meryn Trin is also on Arya's list. So you think, and if Mace Tyrell actually makes it to Braavos, to the Iron Bank,
Jesse.
Do you think he's coming back?
So when, no, neither one of them is going to come back.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
I bet, or maybe Mace does make it back and Arya's the one that saved his life.
Yeah, because I don't see, I think Meryn Trent's, Sir Meryn's job there is to kill Mace Tyrell.
Maybe that's how Arya gets, because we both said that we don't think she's going to finish her training at the House of Black and White. Maybe that's what gets Arya to leave. She sees him.
And game on.
Yep. And then follows him back to King's Landing or something.
Now I wonder what the time difference is there. So, you know, how long is what the timeline
between the point she gets to Braavos and to the point that they get there?
Yeah.
Good question. I don't know. But yeah, I bet it's a good bet that neither one of them makes it back.
Because I don't even know
But at this point, if one does make it back, I don't think it's going to be Meryn.
No.
See, that's kind of a nice red herring, because everybody's like, oh, shit, Meryn's going to kill Mace Tyrell. But what no one failed to recognize is that Arya's there, and she is on her prayer of death. So, Meryn's probably not going to make it back either. What do you think about
that comment. The small council's getting smaller.
Not small enough. Yeah. Who's left?
The Maester.
Maester, that's right. That's the only person
Yep.
that's left.
And he's not going to last very much longer.
Or that's the only person we left. No, there's the former maester, Doc Frankenstein, is on the small council.
Yeah, but so that's why I think the other maester is the one who's going to get it.
Yeah, so it's Grand Maester Pycelle.
Yeah, Pycelle's getting it.
And Qyburn is there, but he's obviously on Cersei's payroll. So I think she's doing two things here. Destroying the king's power base, because traditionally the small council would be his advisors, right?
Yep.
Which would, you know, trusted members would be put on the small council. She's getting rid of anyone who would serve the king. Second, she reconstituted the faith militant.
Yep.
Which is a bunch of holy zealots with armed holy zealots.
There is no way that is going to end well in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah, how's the people going to... I mean,
I feel like she's signing Tommen's death warrant.
Vices are kind of like how people, you know, it's like, let them eat cake. Well, the vices are the cake, right? It's how people blow off steam and don't give a shit. When you lock that down in a town that's already shitty...
When you let a rabid dog off its chain, it's not going where you think it's going to go.
Yeah, that's crazy. And I don't even... Either the High Sparrows and... Do you think the High Sparrow would have condoned them going in and... Because they, like, murdered people in the brothel.
Yeah, they did. I don't think he had much hand in it.
And murdered and mutilated people. I think they cut off the homosexual guy's penis.
They were doing something to him. I have no idea. Yeah, I don't think that's going to end well for anyone involved. And I think, you know, the whole thing about it is they are after anyone who breaks the law or...
Well, it's the laws of God.
Yeah.
Which is...
There's somebody...
If they're anything like Christianity, there's a whole shit ton of them.
Yeah.
Like, anybody who wears wool and cotton together are dead.
Yep. And you know Cersei, she's not exactly clean herself. No,
no yeah. I would hope that it comes back to bite her in the ass.
Oh, yeah, I think it will. Because, I mean, they went after Loras, didn't they?
Yeah, and which pissed off Marge.
Because they subverted the law in order to basically... They became their small group of vigilantes, too.
And we saw what Tommen is made of, which is not much. So when Marge sent him off to free her brother... First, he went to her mother and was like, release him. And she's like, they're not underneath my control. I didn't arrest him.
And he's like, no, but you could.
Right. She could. So instead, he takes some King's Guard, not enough, to go there. And, like, the Faith Militant blocked their way because the High Sparrow is praying. Yeah. Who gives a shit? And that lets him go?
And the crowd started to turn kind of nasty.
That's right. So
calling him
an abomination.
Yep.
So I think he got a dose of reality there. He's... He's been very shielded from reality inside the palace walls, but now that he's been out, yeah, I think basically that shook him pretty bad.
And he knows he doesn't have much authority anywhere.
And then Marge leaves.
Yeah.
So what do you think her game plan is? Because she was going to go talk to Grandma, right?
Yep. And
the Queen of Thorns?
I think we're going to see something big happen there.
Yeah.
I think they might lop the head off that snake.
Because the Tyrells have the money. Oh, and her yeah. grandmother is really the power base. It's not Mace. Mace is a puppet.
And even then, he offered, you know, so that was probably dumb of Cersei to turn down their money.
Yeah, because he offered to pay off the 10th, or at least, I guess, 5%, that because the Iron Bank wanted 10%. King's Landing could only pay half of that.
Yep.
And the Tyrells offered to pay the other half.
Yep.
Or loan it.
Once they, and then he said he'd get the money back once, you know, his Margaery was fully in power.
Right.
And Cersei didn't like that, so she snapped at that hand.
Yeah.
So what do you think the repercussions, because it's obvious she didn't want Mace to pay it. She doesn't seem to take the Iron Bank very seriously.
Yeah, so
I think we've discussed that before.
I think the Iron Bank, a medieval bank, it probably has far-reaching arms. So they're going to bankroll the enemies. They've already started to do that with Stannis Baratheon, right?
Or,
Dorne.
Do you think they might not take such an obvious hand, i.e.
Assassins?
The faceless men? Yes. Could you imagine them working for the Bank of Braavos? They're kind of local.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know what the... They haven't really divulged the faceless men's relationships with governments and other entities like this in, yeah. in Westeros. So maybe we'll
find out.
Assassins
are usually for hire, right? They're not just...
Well, I mean, are they even really assassins? Because, I mean, we're led to believe that, but...
Well, we're definitely led to believe that, especially when they originally try and hire assassins to go after Daenerys.
Were they faceless men?
They mentioned the faceless men as a group of assassins.
Right.
And they said they were kind of too expensive for...
Ah, right.
I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah, well, so if they're too expensive, the Iron Bank of Braavos could definitely pay for them.
And they said that was like a surety, though. A surety that if they paid the price, that Daenerys would be dead.
So what do you think about moving on... To the Wall and Winterfell and basically the North. How do you think that's going to play out? Stannis moving against Winterfell with Sansa and the Boltons.
I think it'll play out kind of how...
Peter said?
Yeah. Unless Stannis gets assassinated in some way, shape, or form.
That seems really clear. Like, too clear. Because he said he's a betting man. And his bets are really good. I'm not saying that. I would double down on anything Peter bets on. If I knew he was really betting on it.
Yeah. That's kind of the trick. Because that's what he wants Arya to believe. But he seemed to put a lot of faith in not Arya, Sansa.
Sansa.
Yeah. So he seemed to put a lot of faith in Sansa as an agent, as a...
Right, so...
As a manipulator, his protege.
He's basically... When he come down there, he basically came down there and informed her that, hey, Stannis is going to be moving through Winterfell. He's going to march on the south. He's garrisoned at the Wall right now.
So do you think Stannis, or the Boltons know about where Stannis is at? And what
Peter Baelish does, so I bet the Boltons do too. I bet it's, I mean, you can't hide troop movements like that. It's known. People know this, that they're there. Okay. I don't think you can hide troop movements. There's civilians all over the place. I know it's medieval, but there's still people that will see this shit happening.
That's true.
You can't hide it. I imagine
my feeling is that the North is pretty isolated, and especially the Wall. I can't see Roose having sent people to the Wall. Well, he did, didn't
Peter
he?
Baelish knows.
But Peter's, his endgame doesn't seem to... He doesn't seem to care who comes out of that.
Yeah, but he knows what's going on. So, I mean, if Peter knows, then it's possible that anybody knows.
That's true.
So I think the Boltons know, because that's why they're trying to... That's why he's trying to get Ramsay to marry Sansa. So that they can rally the North. But I don't even think that's going to work.
Nope.
But I am kind of afraid for Sansa, because Ramsay...
Maybe
and his crazy bitches.
Yeah, it's Ramsay's
No, Ramsay. I'm really concerned about Ramsay. It's not like he keeps his word or anything.
No. But that's the funny part. Baelish said he had fallen for her.
Yeah, so...
Like, no!
Do you think Ramsay fooled Peter Baelish, or Baelish was just lying?
I think Baelish is lying.
Me too. Yeah, I don't think Sansa could control him.
I don't think he gives a shit what happens to Sansa.
No, he doesn't.
And I definitely don't think he has that much faith in her as far as manipulating Ramsay or getting
switched. No, well, I actually do think he gives a shit what happens to Sansa, because he sees her mom in her. That's how he's connected to Sansa.
But I don't feel like he cared even that much about Catelyn.
What? No, he cared a lot about Catelyn.
I don't know.
For sure. No, I think so. I think he cared a lot for Catelyn Stark.
don't know. If he did, it seems like there's a lot more he could have done to help her.
Like what?
Pretty sure he knew about the whole Red Wedding thing.
I don't know if he knew that.
I feel like he did. Because he was allied with Boltons and the Lannisters at that time.
Well, no, he wasn't ever... He didn't ally himself with the Boltons until recently with Sansa.
That's what got him the Eyrie, basically.
No, what got him the Eyrie was turning the King's Guard against Ned Stark, right?
Oh, yeah.
That whole power play down in King's Landing. Actually, what got him that was marrying the crazy bitch that he threw through the moon door. So that's how he got the Eyrie. Oh, I want to talk... So, is there anything else you want to talk about plot point-wise?
I feel like there's one more, but I can't... No.
No, I think we covered all the bases.
Yeah.
Of anything that's happening right now.
So the sparrows, we're talking about they're just rabid dogs getting let loose, I think.
Yeah, it kind of looked like Indiana down there in King's Landing, right?
Yeah, it did.
Fuck all the homos! I don't say that and like that's what I believe. I'm just saying that's what it feels like around here sometimes.
Yeah. I do have one thing. Melisandre, what do you think Melisandre's endgame is? Even Stannis was questioning a little bit. Like, what is your goal? Oh, I just want to serve the Lord of Light.
Yeah, so...
I don't think that's the case.
I don't know what her thing is. I think she really does want to defeat the thing that's in the north, but she's willing to sacrifice as many people as it takes.
Yeah, and I think she... So what do you think
it's kinda like, she wanted John for? What was the point of the Inquisition? Like, they really did want to serve their God, and they thought that doing the things they did... I don't know if they really thought it, but doing the things they did certainly... made people at least pay lip service.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. She's like part Inquisition, part missionary, part prostitute.
What do you think her goal was with John, the seducing of John? Do you think
John Shadow Baby?
Yeah.
John Snow Shadow Baby.
Now, do you think she has any... Because there's a lot of rumors going around there that he might be a Targaryen.
Right. Because they brought it up even this, right? So it was kind of like...
Do you think
even Stannis said something to the effect like, that's not how Ned rolled, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. So do you think that maybe she was going to test that out?
I don't know. I think that she was just really wanting to seduce him into doing whatever she wanted, like going towards Winterfell. I think she really does feel like she's backing the one guy that could win at this point. I think that's what she's doing.
It seems like Stannis has more of a cement on things because there's no... I mean, Tommen's king right now, but is there any real candidate besides Tommen? Other than, at least, yeah. So there's the true king, and then there's Tommen, sort of.
Right.
I mean, there are people that sort of want it, but they don't really have a line to it.
So, yeah, so who are the players left, what players are left?
You have the Boltons in the north that...
Boltons aren't really going for the throne, though, are
they? That's what I'm saying. So they don't have, like, a clear path to the throne.
They're kind of, right now, they just need to consolidate their power base.
Yeah, and they're about to lose it to Stannis.
Stannis, Baratheon, Daenerys Targaryen.
Yep. And Tommen, who currently holds.
I guess maybe whoever takes, Dorne, whoever comes in control of Dorne if they go to war. I don't know. Everything's kind of falling apart into shit. So, talking about Stannis, that was a pretty touching scene between him and his daughter, right? I'm really glad they threw that in there.
Yeah, because he's always seemed sort of stone cold and very rigid.
Well, yeah, rigid, and like he's kind of been descending into madness, allowing Melisandre to, sacrifice all these people at the stake.
And you kind of wondered how he felt for his daughter.
Right, because, he's obviously stern, and he doesn't have a lot of patience, but he pulled out all the stops in trying to save her.
And it kind of gave you some backstory, because in some of the other scenes, it seemed like he might have been ashamed. But they kind of put a spin on that here, because maybe that wasn't shame, maybe that was guilt.
Right, because, so a merchant from Dorne, tying into Dorne here. Everything leads to Dorne in this, it seems like, or at least touches Dorne somehow. A merchant from Dorne came right after her birth to Stannis, right? And all his stuff was junk except for a wooden doll that he dressed in the colors of the house. And he makes a quip about, the merchant obviously thought he could take advantage of new fathers. And he did.
He did.
Because she was very happy when he placed that in her crib, right?
Yep.
But when she touched it to her face, grayscale instantly started forming. And he's like, by the time they burned the doll, it's too late. But he called every meister, every healer in all the land, and every apothecary to come and, save her. And they stopped it. And he did. Which is awesome. So I really kind of dials back the dials in my investment in Stannis. Like, he makes him a likable character.
So, what do you think he thinks of Cilice? Is that the mother's name?
I don't think he thinks much of her because she cheated on her with Melisandre.
Not only that, but she, like, the way she talks about Shireen.
Well, yeah, because Shireen also was like, my mom's
son. Because, you know, all I give you is weakness and
deformity.
Yeah.
And then Shireen makes the comment.
Stood there.
And Shireen makes it. Well, Melisandre kind of stepped in, right?
Oh, yeah, she did.
And it was like, the only thing that matters is that she has the blood. The Lord doesn't care about scars and deformities, but she's got the blood of Baratheon, and that's enough.
But that makes you wonder why he didn't say anything. If he cares that much about his daughter, why didn't he just, like...
Maybe he's just given up on his wife.
Oh, maybe that's true.
So, but, yeah, I would probably say something. And then, you know, she's like, I know Mom didn't want to bring me here. What makes you say that? She told me I don't want to bring you. And he's like, she shouldn't have said that.
And it makes you wonder how much else she said to her.
Lots, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it's all really subtle psychological shit.
Yep.
I mean, well, you saw the menagerie of fetus jars.
Yeah.
Crazy. Lady, she's a crazy bitch.
She's gone downhill.
So, she's gone downhill. She was always there. So, yeah. I can't wait till Cilice dies. I hope they burn her at a stake at this point. The sacrifice of the one true God. Okay, so there's one more thing I want to talk about. Speaking of that scene, I just happened to read on the Wikipedia entry for this that there's a lot of deviations from the book in this episode. We haven't read the books, but it kind of explained it. One of them was that scene between Stannis and Shireen was written just for the episode.
Really?
It doesn't come from any chapter, from what I understand.
See, this is back to my point about the shows versus the books. There's a lot of stuff in the shows that provide more depth to the character than the books had, in my opinion.
Whenever I'm confronted with divergence from the book, I think I've always agreed with what they've done in the show. Because, one, they don't have enough time. They're already spread out. So, another spoiler alert, if you don't want to know this, even though I think it has zero pertinence to the film right now, but if you haven't read the books, you don't want to be spoiled, then I guess you tune out right now.
Maybe we should hold that to the end, then.
But, so the whole thing with this is the end.
Oh, okay.
What else is there?
I guess you're right.
Okay. So, the reason that Sansa has come to marry Ramsay, that is not in the books.
Really?
In the books, I suppose there's some Arya imposter. It's like Sansa's best friend or something is posing as Arya. And they actually send her to the Boltons to be married off. And she gets extremely tortured or something like that.
Wow.
Yeah. But in this, so they've totally thrown Sansa into this mix. I don't know how Sansa turns out in the books or what her storyline is or how it diverges from this. This is the only thing I've heard. But do we really need another character?
No.
And this makes Sansa a player to how she deals with Ramsay.
Yep.
It'll be interesting. I'm assuming that Ramsay eventually dies, probably this season.
You think you're going to call that?
I'm going to call that. Ramsay's dies this season. So
I feel like...
So the end game will be the same no matter what, right?
So I feel like one of the three players is dying this season. That's going to be Stannis, Boltons, or Baelish. One of those three is out of the picture this season.
Okay.
I'm calling that.
So in your death pool?
Yeah.
I think Bronn's dead.
I don't think all three necessarily, but I think one of those three is going out.
Bronn's definitely dead.
Bronn's...
Yep. All the Bronn lovers, including me, I like Bronn.
I don't know if I can take that blow.
He's going to have a mercenary death.
Live by the sword, die
by the sword.
I hope Jaime dies. I really want Jaime.
I would prefer Jaime to die at this point.
Over Bronn.
Actually, I'd like to have him an awesome character development moment where he kind of realizes something, and then he dies.
Oh.
Eh. Jaime.
Oh, yeah.
Bronn isn't ever going to learn anything.
No, Bronn's
He's just
Bronn.
A mercenary, yeah. Yep. I wouldn't ever expect him to learn anything. He likes fighting, and he likes fucking, and he likes riches.
Yep.
Awesome.
I mean, I can see this is the way the show goes, is Bronn's probably going to die.
Oh, yeah.
But I just feel like I feel like his character got cheated in so many ways.
Oh, yeah. He made a deal with Cersei.
Yeah.
Shouldn't have done that.
Nope.
Do you have anything else to add about this episode?
Nope.
So the next one is Kill the Boy, is titled. The next episode is Kill the Boy.
Your predictions?
I think Kill the Boy refers to Tommen.
I agree.
And it's going to have to do with the Faith Militant. So, in fact, the last three or the last two episodes has been kind of like a big super arc developing the Sparrows, right?
Yep. And I feel like that is the perfect way to Because, you know, Cersei, she loves her child. She wants to protect him. But she's the one that let that dog off that chain.
Yes. So another of her children are going to die because of her.
Yep. Basically. And not only that, I hope this time she goes with him.
Do you think the girl would die in Dorne?
No.
That'd be interesting if Tommen dies. Is it Marcel or Marcella?
Yeah.
She'll die, and then basically Jaime will not have... will be forced to not go back to King's Landing.
Oh, you think that might be?
That could be. I don't know.
I hope Cersei dies.
What I want to see next episode, god damn it, I want to see Stannis hit Winterfell.
Yes.
That needs to happen. I want to see development with what's going to happen with Wildlings and Jon.
Yep.
So we saw that he sent
off... My main interest lies around the north.
Yeah, he sent off letters, right, to even Roose Bolton. To all these people in the north to send them men, right? Because they only have 50 people left at the Night's Watch.
Because I feel like the most plot advancement right now is going to happen in the north with the Sansa Bolton thing, the Stannis Bolton thing, and then Jon. What's Jon going to do once those people leave?
Right, and the big thing in the south is the Tyrells versus the Lannisters and the Martells. Martell and Tyrells versus Lannisters.
Maybe we'll see that. Martell-Tyrell alliance.
So
yes.
Maybe there'll be another king before Stannis... Another king on the throne before Stannis gets down to King's Landing.
That makes sense, because if you think about it, Tyrells were all about fucking.
Yeah. They don't care who they fuck.
The Martells are the same, right?
Okay. Yeah. Be interesting. All right. Thanks for joining us for this episode of the Faces Men podcast. I'm your host, Michael.
I'm your host, Jesse. Valor Morghulis.